You found the taxi stand hour.
Wrecked them. It damn near killed them.
On Radio TFI.
Hey folks, welcome back to the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI. Thank you for joining us either live or on the replays or downloading the episode. We're just glad you're here. That's it. We're just happy you're here. I'm John Shannon. Joining me soon will be my illustrious co-host, Ed Van Ness, who is the brains behind the beauty here. We invite you to join us in the conversation live here if you want to get in on it. The number to call is 720-820-1203. Otherwise, for our London friends, please, 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 if you're listening to us live across the pond, give us a call. We'll change gears for you, seriously. Number to call there is +44 330 998 1254. There is an access code. It is 624-349. So yeah, listen. If you're listening live, give us a holler. I want to throw out a quick shout out to a new member of the Taxi Stand Hours Facebook group, a gentleman by the name of John Schuler. He is a taxi driver in Rochester, New York. As you're well aware, or maybe not aware, Uber just started out in mass, or at least was legitimized in Rochester, and he's the drivers out there, like everywhere else, are definitely feeling the effect. So we got that. And if Joe, if you're feeling froggy, come. You can always come and tell us what's going on there in Rochester. So let me take this time to bring in Ed Van Ness into the conversation. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I am just fine.
We have a Radio TFI news break. There are only two of us in the room. I repeat, there are only two of us in the room. This has been a Radio TFI news break. Wow, that was something. Jeez.
Yes, it was.
Wow, that's breaking news. We'll stay on top of that one for you. Anyway, how you doing today, Skippy?
And let you know if a situation changes.
Absolutely, absolutely. We've got all our correspondents working on that story right now. So,
yes.
So how you doing, Skippy?
Well, it's back. We're back to the grind, back to normal.
Yes, we are. Well, I wouldn't call it vacation. A grind. Oh, you're talking about working.
Oh yes.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this.
Well, no, back working. Putting in about 12 hours a day.
Taxi slave. So,
yeah, I am. But you know, here's the big difference. Oh, give it to me, baby.
Beat me, hurt me, whip me, make me write bad checks. Ow!
Exactly.
Oh!
All right, enough
no,
of that.
Here's the thing with what I do for 12 hours and your average Uber driver has to do for 12 hours. The fact is that my average run is about $17 to $18.
Mm-hmm.
Where your average Uber run, what the driver is seeing, well, I'd even go back further. I'd just say what your average Uber run is, if you're lucky, maybe $10.
Oh, you're
if you're lucky.
You've struck gold, my friend.
Oh, am I being optimistic there?
For the most part, you are. For the most part, you are. If you scratch a $10 job out where you collect $10, which means Uber's probably getting eight or nine. Yeah, you're doing fine. I've said this before. I try to explain to people, on days I don't have my own personal work, you're hard pressed to scrape up $100 out there, and and yet yesterday was a perfect day. If not for the fact I caught a little break with some people ordering XL and Plus rides, which pay better.
Mm.
And I was able to get the return rides out off the apps. Boy, it's just another fun Friday, let me tell you. Mm. And today I get to start my afternoon with a personal pickup, so, you know, it's a good way to, you know, I'll start the day in one ride what'll take me 4 or 5 hours to do on the apps.
Well, I tell you, you have one distinct advantage over me, because I have
I'm
never
bright
been
and charming.
Well, don't kid yourself. No, I've never been one to collect personals.
Ah, well.
I've always found that the area that I work, if I'm over in the north end of town, northeast end of town, somebody wants a cab down on the southwest end of town. And it'll take me an hour to get to them. Or worse yet, they set a reservation, and that means I basically have to block off an entire hour where I can't do anything else, where I might miss out on a $70 run for the sake of a $30 run.
Well, that's true, and guys like me love guys like you, because you won't do that. Whereas, oh, by the way, whoever just called from 302 area code, call back. Call back. We want to talk to you.
Oh, did we have a caller on the line?
There he is. Caller, you on the line? Hello, caller. I can't hear you if you're there. Caller, I can't hear you. Hang on 1 second. Let me, no, we're not hearing you, caller.
Send a tweet to the taxi stand hour, and let me know who you are real quick, and I'll see if we can't help get you pulled in here.
All right, let me try it one more time. Caller, can you hear me now? Well, I can't hear you, and I apologize for that.
I can't hear him either.
Yeah, no, I'm not hearing anything. So try us back again, caller. I don't know if it's on your end or my end. I've got all the volume up, but let's move on. Anyway.
Wonder what area code 302 is.
I'm sure it won't be difficult to find out, but
let's hit up the Google.
The Google.
Oh, that's Sean.
Ah, Sean, well, we can't hear you, so in the meantime. This just in from the Radio TFI newsroom. There are now reports that there are up to 4 people in the studio. We have not been able to name the people yet, but apparently there are up to 4 people in the studio. We'll stay on top of this story. This has been a Radio TFI news break. Boy, that story keeps...
Is he on the line, or...
The line... The line is there. I can't hear him, though, so...
I wonder why that is. We might have to... Hold on just a second. Let me...
All right, this is...
something amazing here.
Big time professional radio.
Well, of course it is, man. Let me see if I can call in here and see if there's something going on here. Which I should have done probably a long time ago.
Well, this will be interesting. If I was listening right now, I would be riveted. I would be riveted.
And you should be.
Go ahead, caller.
Please wait, and you will be
I can hear the call.
Yeah, it's because I got it on speakerphone.
But
let me mute my mic here.
Go ahead. Fascinating radio. I see both of you guys are there. You're probably talking to each other.
We are. Sean and I are talking right now, or he's trying to talk to me.
I can't. It's not coming through, so, well, that's disheartening.
We probably should have tested this.
I did test it. All right. I'd like everybody just to control themselves for a moment here because, okay, fine. We'll do it the hard way.
There.
We'll do it the hard way.
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, I can hear him now.
I can hear you fine.
Well, there he is.
Well, he's coming across on your speaker.
I just hung up on the lines.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
And you can't hear him.
I can't hear him at all. Not in the least.
I'll be a son of a bitch. So that's funny. Callers can hear each other on the line.
Huh. Oh.
But you can't hear them there.
Let's,
Shit.
How about now, Sean? Can you... Let me hear something. Nope. Nothing. Hey, Sean, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Man, look at that. If I had just pushed the correct button.
There you go.
How are y'all doing this morning? Big time professional radio. That's what we have here. Make no mistake about it.
It's called the loose nut behind the wheel.
Yeah, there's plenty of those out there.
And most of them have a U emblem.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So it's great to hear your voice, Sean.
Yeah, it's finally good to speak to y'all. I knew I was supposed to call in a while ago, but never got the chance to, and work nights and stuff and trying to fight Uber every day.
Are you making any headway out there with them, or is it just kind of you're beating your head against the wall?
It seems to me like I'm beating my head against the wall for the most part. Most of the people that are in the government, I've only had like one or two representatives that actually contacted me back looking for more information. Everything else I usually get is either a standard reply or it's, you know, or I get blocked. You know,
you get blocked, huh?
Yeah, I get blocked from Facebook, and I get blocked from Twitter accounts. And it's funny, man, because, you know, I very, very, very rarely use profanity online. Usually it's in a comment to somebody, you know. But when I'm making a post or anything like that, I don't try to use, you know, bad language or anything that's going to give them a reason to block me. You know, if they don't like what I'm saying or asking, answer me, or, you know, at least make some kind of response instead of, oh, we don't want to talk to you, you're blocked. You know, well, that just makes me want to go find somebody else that will listen.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not deterred by it. You know, I just figure that either they're listening or they're not, and if they're not listening, and when the shit does hit the fan, like we know it is going to, it's going to be on public record that they've been notified. You know, mm-hmm. It's going to be on Facebook. It's going to be on Twitter. Hey, you were told about this. You know, why didn't you act on it? You know.
Hey, Sean, so, I got a question. Yeah. You're in Delaware, correct?
Yes, Dover, Delaware.
Yeah. Do they have statewide regulations as far as the TNCs are concerned? Or is it all still local?
It hasn't passed legislation yet.
Okay, that's what's going on right here. I can tell you, because here in Florida, we just went statewide July 1st. Right now, the local yokels are still got their hands deep in Uber's pocket. Once it moves up to the state level, these people are going to care even less than they do right now. Unfortunately, we're in a position right now where... at least in my opinion, from what I can see, everything I've read and looked, and we've just got to wait for Uber to burn itself out, which is coming
right.
without question. And believe you me, I know, I understand how frustrating it's been. I'm out there with you on the front lines, and but
oh yeah, I see you all every day posting on Facebook, on Twitter. You've got your own radio show. You're part of Ride Safe World. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, sometimes I look at it and I see the same people doing so much, and then I see other people that all they want to do is complain.
Right.
Well, you know, don't just complain. Do something.
Do something.
You know, start a page.
The
help somebody with what they're doing, you know. Just don't get on there and cry about losing money. There's so much more at stake than you're making less than what you did last year or mm-hmm. 2 years ago or 10 years ago.
Let me say this about that. Again, my experience in the taxi business, here's one thing I learned. You're hard pressed to get three guys to agree where to have coffee.
You're right.
Exactly.
Because of the way we work, right, wrong, or indifferent, it is, this whole industry is set up, and it always will be, it's about, I got to take care of myself. That being said, if there were 10 of us, and we all needed to band together to do something, only 8 of us would, and the other 2 would stay out and work, because there would only be 2 cars on the road.
Right.
You're never going to get 100% is just unrealistic. But
no,
I do
agree.
Yeah, I do agree with you. More people need to get involved and understand. But again, in this industry, so many people are in and out of it. I'm a lifer. Right. I started when I was 26 years old. I'm 58 now. Where am I going? What am I going to do? I'll be carting people around until I can't anymore. No matter whether
right.
it's in a taxi or my you know, my car service, whatever it may be. But again, most people are in and out. How many folks have you talked to over the years that you know, they barely last a year, maybe a year and a half, and they move on to something else? They've got no
right.
stake in the business, none whatsoever.
It's unlike London.
Right.
To a man, just about every London cab driver I've spoken to or corresponded with has had 20 plus years in the business.
Oh yeah, you mean they are like, I mean,
they're the gold standard,
set apart on every level. I mean, look how organized they are on Twitter.
Oh my God, is that not amazing?
That's amazing. I mean, we've got 11,000 members in the worldwide group, and we've, you know, there's probably less than 100 of us on Twitter.
Right.
100 is probably really generous. They have more members in their Save Our Black Taxi thing for London. They have like 25,000 members, I think, in their group.
Right.
Now, all those aren't taxi drivers, but God, man, look on Twitter. How many black cab drivers do you see?
What I find amazing is the videos and the pictures, and every day there seems to be more. They are out there actively finding all these clowns and Priuses going down one-way streets and driving upstairs.
Yeah, well,
and
I mean, but over there, though, you have to look at it, man. Everywhere they look, they see one.
Right,
I mean,
right.
I live in a small city. There might be 8 to 10 actively on it. You know, like last night, I think the most I saw was like 8.
Oh, are you talking about on the app?
What's that?
Are you talking about on the Rider app?
Yeah, on the Rider app.
Sean, you'll only ever see 8. It doesn't matter how many cars are out there. There could be 800, there could be 2. You're going to see 8 cars on that app.
Usually
anywhere between 2 to 4.
Well,
usually on Friday, Saturday night. And I know which ones are fake because you can move your location
right.
on the map, and the car will act funny. The car will disappear.
Right. I've talked about that, my experiences with that before. I promise you, 8 is the max, and as often as not, at least a few of those are phantom ghost cars, just to give the impression.
Man, I've seen like 20, 30 cars on the app.
Really?
At the beach area.
Really?
You zoom in on that area, and you'll see them everywhere.
Hmm.
You'll see them stacked on top of each other.
Hmm.
I mean, I know what you're talking about. How they tried to make the consumer think that, oh, there's a car just minutes away, even if
right.
it might not be.
Right.
And I also understand they don't want regulators knowing, hey, we've got 800 cars out here, so we're only going to show 8.
Well,
so, I mean,
well,
I, totally,
my question
get, I
is,
totally get what you're saying.
Is if they have that many cars, and they have technically have a car within, you know, a football field length away from you, how come it still takes 5 minutes for you to get served?
Right.
Because not everybody is suited for this business. And and so too many people, okay, they have a GPS, a sat-nav in their car. Doesn't mean they know how to read it and know how to use it.
Right.
There is a particular office building here in Fort Lauderdale where I am making a little bit of a gold mine off of it. Because apparently I'm the only person that can find it. Here's my card. Call me directly. Here's my personal rates. Oh, okay, and you'll meet me at the airport? Yes, I will. Thank you. Have a nice day. Moving on.
Right.
You know, again, right. 31 years of experience in my city helps. You know, not everybody starts experience. We all have to learn at some point. But you can't be a rookie every day. You have to start
right.
learning.
I've only been driving 6 years. I mean, I dispatched for 4 years before I started driving. But when I started driving, it was about probably a year or so before Uber was starting to become known.
Mm-hmm.
It was still more the black car service then. You
right.
know?
It wasn't a threat to us yet.
Right. But my company was already preparing for it. I mean, we had a dispatch office. We closed it down and went to an automated phone line to try to save money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, couldn't afford to have somebody sit 24 hours in the office if the phone's not ringing. And we made other adjustments as well. Instead of having a shift car, we went to a weekly lease where it's better for us. I could make more off a weekly lease than I could off splitting 50-50 with the company.
Right, right.
You
guys still do the split?
I'm sorry?
I said your company still does the split?
No, actually right now we're doing all of our cars are being leased.
Okay, because that's the more common system now.
They're going to go back to at least a part-time dispatcher and possibly to try to get a couple of shift cars on the road so we can get more drivers.
Right.
Because during the day we might have enough, but at night it's up in the air. I mean, during the week if one driver takes a day off or two drivers take the same day off, we're fucked, man.
Yeah. Well, if it takes a special breed to be a cab driver, it takes a super special breed to be a nighttime driver. And I did nights
right.
for 30
well,
years,
you know
so.
Right. Well, I knew when I started driving, when I found out that, hey, we're not going to be dispatched anymore, my boss had been trying to get me into a cab for at least 2 years. You know, you need to drive, you need to drive, you need to drive. And I'm like, nah, man, I listen to the people on the phone. I talk to the cab drivers every day. Nah, man. And then when he was like, try it, you know, when he told me, he was like, well, we're going to not be dispatching anymore. I was like, well, shit, I might as well start driving a cab.
There you go. They kind of forced you into the corner there.
Played your hand
for
you.
I fell up with it, man. You know, and it was like from day one, my whole goal was, to outdo everybody in my company. I'm going to be on time. I'm not going to lie to you.
There you go.
I'm going to give you a good price. You know, if you ride with me regular, you're going to get a flat rate. You know.
I got a question for you, Sean.
Sure.
And John and I have discussed this before. I think you're only one decal away from flipping that car over. He seems to think you got a couple more to go.
That car is actually off the road now.
Is it?
Yeah, it's actually the throttle cable and the speed control cable welded to the alternator.
Oh my! What year was that? That,
yeah.
that was a 90,
that was a 94.
Oh my God! That wouldn't even there's no age limits.
Where no age limit.
Wow!
Car has to pass inspection every 6 months.
Wow!
Oh. Now, to level
well,
the
I suppose
plane,
if the car
to level the playing
passes
field,
inspection,
the legislation wants to make it once a year. Instead of every 6 months, so it's more fair to taxis.
Yeah, well,
we had the same legislation that Wisconsin has and that a majority of the other states do. I mean, they paid $5,000 I think they paid it. I haven't seen a receipt for that money yet. To have an uncapped number of minimal background check drivers driving
right.
vehicles with questionable insurance.
Right. Yeah. You know, I spend my days now when I have Uber and Lyft passengers. When I do that work, I tell people about this. You know, I explain the insurance to them. I explain the laughable background checks. I enjoy telling them about the commission meeting I was at, where the Uber representative got up and with a straight face talked about how their internet background checks were better than an FBI background check with fingerprints. And now I have my county hack license, which I've always had. I will always keep. I will renew it every 2 years. But I've been fingerprinted. I've been background checked by the FBI, and it didn't hurt a bit. Not a bit.
Right.
And
now in Delaware, man, we have one background check done. And as long as you stay a driver, your endorsement's good for life.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you don't have to go back and get a check every year or every 3 years. As long as you're active, because what they do is once you become endorsed, you get put into the system.
Right.
And, you know, as long as you're working for a company, or basically as long as nobody tells DMV that your endorsement, that you haven't been driving, your endorsement's still good. But I got fingerprint, you know, checked. It took about 3 weeks for it to come back. It was like $80.
Right.
Now the company, and my boss told me, hey, when you come back with it, when it says clean, I paid for it up front, but it was taken off lease money.
Oh, there you go.
Once I gave him, it was passed. It was free.
There you go.
You know, my boss was a really good guy to work for, man. I've really been blessed with having somebody who's been. His philosophy is. You need to focus on service. If you focus on the service, the money's going to follow.
That's right.
If you try to chase the money,
you're going
to
lose.
You're not going to get any service, and you're not going to have anything.
Right. Well, like I said,
you're
absolutely
right.
I've been saying for over a year now, long before I ever got involved in with John and all that, that I think next October is the tipping point, October 2018. I think anybody that has survived till then will come out of this, perhaps bloodied and beaten, but standing. Because there is no way Uber survives between now and next October. You don't pick a fight with Google and walk away from it. And on top of everything else. Now, once Uber's gone, this whole ride, I won't use that word, this whole TNC thing.
TNC.
Is not.
There you go. Totally negligent companies.
Right, they're not going away, but it's not going to be the behemoth that Uber is. It'll be manageable. It'll be better competition, because once Uber's gone, Lyft's going to have to get their act together, and anybody else coming in to fill the void will have to get their act together, because once Uber's gone, people are going to start figuring out, holy crap, we're riding around here uninsured. Who knows who I'm riding with? I like to tell people, I'll say, well, you didn't even check my tag when I pulled up. They said, well, it's a white minivan. I said, and guess what? You know what I have sitting in my driveway? Another one that looks just like it. I said, plus, you don't know who inspected this van. When's the last time somebody looked at the tires on this? You have no earthly idea. And, you know, look, taxi cabs companies aren't perfect, and I'll be the first to admit it. I could sit here and run down a list of issues with the cab industry. That being said,
That's a whole show.
But that being said, at least the taxi industry has followed the flipping rules.
Right. And if not, it's because of lack of enforcement.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's the whole thing, like the ride safe world that we're part of. You know, it's not just about Uber and Lyft. It's about all ground transportation. I don't care if it's buses, trains, trolleys, pedicabs, or whatever, anybody fair game. If you're a taxi company and you're screwing up, we'll point it out.
There you go. And that's what it should be. I mean,
right.
We all have a stake in this. This is,
right.
Look, the self-driving Johnny cabs are so far right. down the line. None of us will ever live to see it. It's not the technology. It's the liability. It's the insurance and the regulatory process. Won't allow it for decades to come. So people like us are needed out there. But we also have to, you have to protect your own business. You have to make the business work. Like your boss said to you, Sean, you know, service first, the money will follow. And any reputable company preaches basically the same thing. Yes, we all want to go out and make $1 million a day. We all do. We want to get that one big ride every day and go home after 2 hours. But it's not going to happen. Sometimes, you know, you got to go out there and get yourself beat up, but you've also got to treat the people well. Some people don't deserve to be treated well. I get that. I've had enough issues over the years. You know, some people are jerks. But for the most part, people get in the car. Hi, how you doing? Where to? I live and work in a tourist destination. I spend the better part of my days asking the same questions. Where are you visiting us from? Blah, blah, blah. Where have you been? And I start giving out people information. Here, go here for dinner. Try this. You'll enjoy that.
Right. You're the embassy.
Ambassador.
To the city.
Exactly.
That's what cab drivers were always known of at one
right.
point in time. They were all the city's
ambassadors.
You know,
you were talking earlier about, you know, how you like to inform your customers, and I do too. I mean, I don't actively try to engage anybody in a conversation about it unless they, you know, they bring it up. I'll be like, are you really sure you want me to get started? And they'll start laughing, you know. But, you know, and it goes back to what the original show I was supposed to call in about is, well, how come you don't drive for Uber? Well, I'm banned.
Are you?
Well, why are you banned? Well, I filed a fake registration, insurance policy, fake VIN, and they approved and accepted me. And I was able to accept a fake call on the app to prove that, hey.
Right.
You know? And they're like, well, that's not right. And I'm like, yeah, I know. You know? You wouldn't do it
left the
that
emperor
way.
With a little egg on his face.
Well, I'll yeah. Along those lines, Sean, although this account is the account I'm about to refer to, and I won't use the name I used, is currently deactivated because of an issue with a supposed service animal. But I created an account using the name of one of my former drivers who passed away a couple of years ago. His license was still valid.
Okay.
For his Social Security number, he had a legal name change about 20 years ago.
Okay.
So I found somebody online that had his old name, that is also deceased, got his Social Security number. So I used the combination of those two pieces of information. We created an insurance company. I got some Photoshop skills.
Right. So does Justin.
Yeah.
He actually used the same policy that he used on his thing. He just changed the address.
Right. I used the registration for my vehicle. I changed numbers around. It was ridiculous.
Right.
And they approved it. Now, mind you, this is two dead guys.
Right.
And I went out and I worked on that account for months. And I wasn't worried about it because I have my commercial insurance. I have my licenses. It doesn't matter to me. If I'm involved in an accident, the last people I'm getting a hold of is Uber or Lyft. I want no part of those, whatever sham insurance they're involved in. I'm not about to play that game. But, yeah, so people don't understand how easy it is to beat those systems. It's just ridiculously stupid.
Right. Right. Yeah, I'm like smiling from ear to ear right now hearing what you just told me.
It
made my freaking day.
It's just too easy. It's just too easy. And
it is.
And folks don't understand that. And I'll get people talking to me about, well, you know, they start telling me their taxi horror stories. Now, look, I've been hearing taxi horror stories for 30 years. I get it. The industry is not perfect. And you got drivers out there that got no business being out there dealing with the public. You'll get no argument from me about that ever. I said, but first off, don't be blaming the drivers when the back seat is all smelly and torn up. Drivers don't ride back there. That's the customers.
Right.
Granted, the drivers should be trying to keep their vehicle clean, but, you know, there's a reason I have strict no smoking, no eating, no food rules. You're not getting in my vehicle because I got to think of the next person coming in.
Right.
You know, I can't speak to dispatch from a cab company. You know, look, things happen. It's one of the reasons that I finally left my company. Is the taxi industry perfect? No. But at least you know the drivers in the cars have met some minimal standards. They've been vetted at least minimally. And you would go nuts seeing the amount of children out there you pull up to. 10, 11, 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
You're not...
In Delaware, the law is... For taxis, they have to be 16 to get into a taxi by themselves.
Okay.
But my policy for the past 6 years is, no, you got to be 18. If you're 16, I want to speak to your mom. I want to speak to your dad.
Speaking to them.
I was picking up, I picked up a couple of people that were, one guy was 15, and I was picking up a girl that was 17. They were doing after school tutoring in the evenings. You know, the mother of the daughter of the girl, you know, she rode with me for like a week. We were talking because I was like, you know, I want to come meet you. I want you to ride with me. I want you to see the route we're going.
There was a vetting process. You know, that's fine. That's
different.
Vetting
process, right.
That's different.
You know, and the other one, the boy's mother, she was like, well, he just needs to be picked up. And I was like, look, I'm not just going to go pick him up. I'll come pick you up first. I said, you're only about a mile and a half away from where he's going. I said, I won't even charge you.
Right.
You know, just, we need to meet. If you want me to pick him up on a regular basis, we're going to need to meet. If not, you're going to have to call through the cab company, and I won't answer your call.
Yeah, I explain it to people this way. Here's my major concern is that, okay, let's say 16-year-old Brittany is the most polite young lady in the world. Okay, she gets in my car, I take her where she's going. Other than polite greetings, we don't say a word to each other. I don't know that when she gets out of my vehicle, she's not going to go running into mommy's arms and saying, that man touched me.
Right.
That being said...
Or texting her friends or Twittering online.
Right. Now...
Creepy guy making moves on me.
Right.
And,
now, would I beat it in court? Most likely. However, I would still have the stink of that following me for the rest of my life.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's one great thing about dash cams.
I know.
You know.
I just installed one.
I didn't get one until recently. You know, I had been thinking about getting one, and it wasn't until I had a run-in with a Uber or Lyft driver that I was like, you know what, I need to get one, you know, because... Yeah, I rode by a car that was parked across parking lanes, and then the front end of the car was like in a no parking zone, whatever the no parking lines, and I pointed and laughed as I rode by. Well, he followed me, and then he went to the cops and told them I was harassing them. So I was like, you know what? I need to have something to protect myself.
Right.
You know, because, you know, getting a call from the police, you know, oh, you're harassing Uber drivers. I was like, I pointed and laughed. He was like, well, that's not a good idea at 3:30 in the morning. I was like, well, you know, it is what it is.
With my old company, they had dash cams for accidents and all that for liability. And I just in the last week, finally got off my dead butt and ordered and installed a dash cam in my minivan, which shoots both looking out of the car and into the cabin, and I just know the peace of mind I have now. It happened the other day. It's a young lady who was not happy that she lollygagged about 5-6 minutes. It was a Lyft call. I canceled it, collected my cancellation fee, which, by the way, is about the only thing I like about those apps, man. You get paid for a no-show.
Yeah, taxi company, you get nothing.
You get nothing. But she walked over to my car, and she's starting to yell and scream and calling me names, racial slurs, and And I said, keep going, honey, because I'm getting it all on camera. You keep right on going. I'm going to call, and they're going to, you keep going. Keep going. I got it right here. It's all recorded. So I'll be able to sleep a little bit better knowing I've got that.
Right. I want to definitely get an upgrade. I bought one from like Walmart, you know. I didn't buy the cheap one, but I didn't buy the expensive one. I bought like the middle grade one. It does what it needs to do, but I want to get something better than what I've got.
I'm about to tell you. I'm holding the little booklet for it right now. I'm going to tell you exactly what I just got. And anybody that's listening, this is a good little camera. It's the Transcend, TRANSCEND, DrivePro 520. Now, besides having dual cameras facing both in and out, there's an app that goes with this. So that on your smartphone, you don't have to take the camera down to see the videos. It'll go right to your tablet, your phone, whatever you're using in your car. And you can save it to your device. You can pull the SD card out, whatever it is. But this, I did a lot of research on this one. And Sean, I will tell you, this is what I recommend for you.
Okay.
On eBay.
Save it to the cloud, or does it save it to your phone?
The SD card out and transfer files over.
Yeah. Well, you can do it that way, or you can do it through the app, but you have to be right there next to it. It's not cloud based, John. But you don't have to take the whole camera down. You don't have to take the little memory card out if you don't want to. It's
right.
I bought it off eBay. It was about $184. Well worth it. This is the kind of quality camera. Because Sean, you probably have a nice, good interior light. When you turn on the light, you will see everything at night. You will see everything. That's what I recommend. That is what I highly recommend.
Cool. I appreciate that, because I'm definitely going to be, trying to get something different.
Absolutely.
Because, it's only going to be a matter of time. It's going to start. The tide's already turning.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
I mean, we got, there's so much going on, man. We got the database up and running. We're going to have a check, where you can check the plate of the car to see whether or not it's got any violations or insurance issues.
Cool.
Or the driver does, if possible. Justin's actually talking about, he's working on another database that's going to be run, instead of being checked by plates, you're going to check it by VIN. And in that way, if you're an insurance company or finance company, you can run that VIN number through the system to see if it's a TNC. The biggest downfall
to find
this
out
system is the driver participation. We have to get drivers taking pictures from everywhere in the world.
How are you going to find the VIN number, though?
If you take a picture of the tag, if you send it right to the database, they can check the VIN number through the national database. They actually have worldwide database now. But if you're in Queensland, Australia, Townsville, they have a free thing. The government, you check the tag through the registry, and it'll tell you whether or not it's being used commercially or privately. But you can also go through Carfax. I've been using the Carfax maintenance app, where it's supposed to be your car, where you can keep a record of what you're doing to your car. Well, I'm not using it for that. I'm running tags through it. And then it'll say, blah, 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 is a 2010 blue Camry your car? Well, if it matches the car that I in my picture, I'll hit yes. And then you can go into the glove box, and it'll give you the VIN number. It'll give you any open recalls.
Right, that information's out there. It's not top secret.
I tried using Carfax.
I'm using it for other purposes than what it's designed for.
I tried using Carfax for that. So as you say, it's Carfax maintenance?
Yeah, there's a maintenance app. It's free.
Okay.
It's called Carfax maintenance app. And basically, it's for you, so you can punch your tag number in, and you can have your vehicle history on your phone or on your computer.
Oh, excellent.
What I would like to find is some place that we could find out who their insurance company is.
I know. Great. And that's one thing, like, you know, when I take pictures of TNC cars, and if I find out if there's open violations, or even if they're not, even if they come up clean, I'll go on Twitter and I'll go to that state and I'll start looking for Department of Insurance, DMV, DOT, any Allstate, Geico, and Carfax. Be like, boom, here's this vehicle with a picture of its tag and a TNC sign on it. Check it. You know, if I give you a picture and you're in Geico and you get a picture on your Twitter account saying this car is being used for a TNC, is it one of yours? Wouldn't you check?
Well, absolutely. Oh, yeah. That's, you know, they don't want to be bothered with that.
Not because they're making more money. Not
right. Well,
they're going to make money on us anyway. Any scenario that's out there, the insurance company is going to benefit from.
Right, because right now they've got a ton of people out there running around paying for personal auto insurance that means nothing, because it's null and void. They can never use it. By the way, if anybody else is out there and wants to give us a call, 720-820-1203, 720-820-1203. Sean, I got to say, we've exchanged a lot of good information today, and I really, really appreciate your calling. I'm sure, well, John and I do. But I tell you what, we don't have that much time left today. There's a couple other things that John and I want to get to, so we're gonna put a pin on it right here. But you know, you're more than welcome to call back anytime,
my friend.
Thank you so much, and you'll be seeing me on Facebook and on Twitter. You can count on that.
All right, Sean. Thank
you. Sean, I want to ask you one last question before you split.
Sure.
Can somebody who just wants to send you the information, say I see a TNC car, could I send you a picture of the car with a tag, and could you use your resources to get at that?
Yes sir. And for anybody that's out there, they can send it to me through Facebook, they can send it through me through Messenger, Twitter, however, whatever best way for you to get it to me, I will definitely get it into the database.
Fabulous. Thanks. That's good to know.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks
All right,
again,
man,
Sean.
Thanks.
All right. You all have a good day.
Take care. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the fabulous Sean.
That was great. A lot of good information there.
Absolutely. Breaking from the Radio TFI newsroom, there are now 8 people in this room. 8 people in this room. Stay tuned for more.
Woohoo!
A nothing burger? The meeting was a nothing burger?
Unbelievable.
We didn't know how many people were in the room? The Clampets go to Washington.
So it really is Boris and Natasha right now.
Molson Squirrel.
Oh.
But you got to remember, Don Jr. is a good boy, according to his father. Now, mind you,
well, sure he is.
Now, mind you, Don Jr.
is loyal to his father.
Sure, don't forget. You know, Don Jr. is only 10 days younger than the president of effing France.
Oh my God.
So you got Paul Manafort in this room, who is no political naivete. You've got an email that blatantly says in the subject line what was going on. Why Jared Kushner is allowed within 20 miles of Washington, D.C. right now is beyond me. And it just keeps piling on top. And if not for the fake news media uncovering all this stuff, we'd never hear about it. It's a lot of, oh, that meeting with the Russians. Oh, that time I talked to a Russian. I didn't realize you meant that.
And at one point in time, he said he never never spoke to
nope.
anybody from Russia.
Nope. Nope. And I'm confident it's going to come out that Senior was in that meeting. You're going to be hard-pressed to tell me. He is like an ant running to a pile of sugar. He can't resist anything. He does not have that kind of self-control. If he was one floor away, his office was one floor above where that meeting took place. I personally don't believe that he was not involved in it.
Well, if he wasn't personally in the room, he was kept in the loop through the whole thing.
Well, it was. Was it later that day that he came out with the Russia, check Hillary's emails, look for the emails.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can only pile this crap up so high before it starts to fall down on you. And you know, a lot of this could have been just dealt with after the inauguration. By the way, here's all the meetings we had, this, that, and the other thing. You're already in office. It's much tougher to get you out. But now it just keeps piling up and piling up. Oh, we forgot this. Oh, we forgot that. Sorry, we're new at this. Baloney.
Oh, yeah, they want to pass because they're new.
Yeah, well. Anyway. What else is going on?
Did you see while Trump was in France, now he's sizing up the First Lady?
Yeah, how about that? Hubba hubba.
Oh, you're in great shape. Does that man, that 71-year-old, he's 71 if I'm not mistaken.
71, just turned.
Is that the only way he looks at women?
Clearly, but you can't convince the base of that. Oh, he didn't mean anything.
Well, you can't, because even the women in the base, I mean, did you see the T-shirt that woman was wearing, Trump supporter?
No.
You know, he can grab her pussy anytime he wants.
Well, there you go. You know, he's got certain people, and if you notice, he doesn't go anywhere where there aren't his people.
Yeah.
He's not showing up at public events. He's not showing up anywhere where there could be protesters. He's only going where they're going to stroke his ego. And, I was considering there briefly that we might go for that second hour today, but then I realized I have someplace to be. By the way, Sean, I wanted to keep talking to you, but we were running so close on time. It had nothing to do with content, my friend. It was all about time, because we got a few other things we want to squeeze in here. And
yes.
What else is on your list, John?
Oh, I have a ton of stuff on the list. I want to really talk about really quick. Jimmy Carter.
Ah.
So Jimmy Carter is up in Canada building houses for Habitat for Humanity.
How old is President Carter?
Isn't he in his
90s? 92.
Jesus. Well, the man has always been in shape.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
This country's most underrated president.
I totally agree.
And he had a little medical incident. He collapsed, was it?
Yes.
And he was back at work when?
The next day.
Good for you, President Carter. Good for you. I wonder what it's like for him to show up with a hammer in his hand the next day and to turn around and look back at D.C. and see what the office he once held has turned to. It's got to be disheartening for him. It's got to be very disheartening. And he's too nice of a man to say anything in public. Did you see a couple of months ago the video of him getting on an airplane where he shook everybody's hand?
I didn't see that video, no. It doesn't surprise me.
Apparently he does it every time he flies. People recognize him, and he happily takes the time to, you know, go down the entire plane and shake everybody's hand, have a brief word with them, and very, very, if the Trump family combined could muster up 1% of the class of President Carter, man, I tell you what, this country would be in much better shape. Much better shape. And
The thing is everybody else is using the office as a stepping stone to something else. And yep. I think that maybe, well, there are some exceptions. I mean, I don't think Obama's done this. I don't think that even Bush is really kind of laid back in the background.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But Trump, this is just another notch in his gun.
There you go. It's, yeah, and then now Ivanka's, apparently Ivanka's company, all her clothing is made overseas, despite make America first and bring jobs back to America and blah, blah, yeah. blah. You know, it doesn't apply to the Trump family when it affects their money.
No.
We're getting close on time. There is something I want you to ask me about. What did I mention to you earlier?
Oh, the most interesting man.
Yesterday, I met the most interesting man in the world, and he's 8 years old.
Oh.
I picked up this mom with her son and her little daughter, who was a cutie in her own right. And this young man and I had a conversation. At 8 years old, he not only knows the periodic tables, he can discuss each element in great detail. We had conversations well beyond his age. And the 50-year gap between us, there were some things that I mentioned he didn't know simply because he's 8 years old. And, we were talking about flying cars, and I talked about how disappointed I was when I was, because they told me when I was 8 years old I was getting a flying car and a jetpack, and God damn it, I still want my flying car. I want my jetpack.
Yeah.
But we talked, and I wound up picking them back up and taking them back home. And we just, the young man is so smart, and not just smart, not just reading off facts and figures, but he was able to hold and maintain an adult conversation. Still, he's still 8 years old, and there were a couple things that I said that he didn't quite get, but just so.
How dare you talk over his head?
Believe me, it wasn't intentional, and it was very difficult to do too, because it was just, he was just so bright. And what a conversationalist. As I was going to pick them back up for the return, just before I got there, I said, oh, it dawned on me now. Now I know who this kid is. Forget the old man in the beer commercial. This is the most interesting man in the world.
That's great.
Jax, I know you're probably not listening, but if you are, buddy, you keep up the good work, and I hope you get your soft medal in the mail tomorrow or Monday. Anyway,
that reminded me something. I had a passenger myself yesterday.
You did not.
Woman and her 4.5. Well, yeah, I do get a few passengers. but a woman and her 4.5-year-old son. And I had said, well, you better get... They're going to the train station. Told them, well, you better get your Amtrak ride in before they wind up taking that line out. Because that's one of Trump's plans, is cutting severely back on Amtrak. Anyways, long story being short... the young boy said, I want to put Trump in jail so he doesn't take away our trains.
Ooh. That's my kind of boy.
Exactly. How apropos is that?
Absolutely. Well, there's another fun hour gone.
Yeah. It went really fast.
We're getting better at this.
Yeah, we are, aren't we? If the engineer would learn to bring the caller in properly.
No kidding. I got to learn to push all the buttons.
Oh, God.
Well. There are 27 people in this room, and we don't know how any of them got here. John, I'll see you next week. Monday night, 8 o'clock, my special guest will be Joe Smith. He's an owner here at Yellow Cab. See ya!
Bye.